This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today we are talking through the events of the past 60 or so hours after the Trump administration sent out a memo on Monday night that, had it not been blocked by a court, would have frozen spending on federal grant funding for programs like Head Start and Meals on Wheels.
Hi there. My name is August. I am currently on my route delivering meals to seniors who depend on this food and aid from Medicaid. Many of them are veterans, and they are terrified. They don't know if their benefits are going to continue to be available or not. And they have worked their entire lives and depend on these funds. They are scared.
All right, August, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Really appreciate it. If you want to join our conversation today, the number is 800-222-9455. This memo led to mass confusion around the country, and what resolution we've had, again, a court order and the administration sort of pulling back the memo, although also saying they're going to continue prosecuting this, there are still more questions than answers. So for the rest of the program today, we're talking with organizations that could have potentially been affected by a federal funding freeze. Omar Martinez-Gonzalez is Senior Manager of Federal Policy and Advocacy for the AIDS Foundation Chicago. Omar, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Joan Hartman is CEO for the McLean County Center for Human Services. Joan, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Jose Munoz is Executive Director of La Casa Norte, a Chicago-based organization that serves youth and families confronted with homelessness. Jose, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And listeners, again, you can join us 800-222-9455. Omar, I'm going to start with you. Just tell us a little more about what AIDS Foundation Chicago does and how federal funding plays into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So AIDS Foundation Chicago is one of the leading HIV service providers, fund administrators, and HIV advocacy organizations in the country. We serve over 8,000 clients in the Chicagoland area and administer funds for HIV-related services in Chicago and across the state. We support everything from Ryan-wide direct case management to housing services, linkage to HIV prevention, behavioral health care, community engagement, professional development for community-based HIV organizations. And we coordinate statewide efforts like the Getting to Zero Illinois plan to end HIV, the HIV epidemic in Illinois by the year 2030, of course, in partnership with our city and state departments of public health. AFC, people may not know this, but AFC is actually one of the largest housing agencies in the Chicagoland area. And we actually fund a lot of our work through federal grants. So we receive HOPA funding, which is Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS funding, which was enacted in Congress in 1990. It's an essential program to help house people who are vulnerable or living with HIV, who are of low income status. And it's a vital component of our Getting to Zero plan in Illinois. We also receive funding from the Ryan White Care Act to coordinate case management. And this program supports not only case management as well as housing services, but medical support for people of low income status who are living with HIV.
Joan Hartman with McLean County Center for Human Services. Similar question to you. Tell me just a little about what you do and how federal funding is a part of that.
Sure. We are a certified community behavioral health clinic, and we've been in existence for about 98 years. And we serve about a little over 3,000 people a year through our school-based and on-site counseling services, psychiatry. We do day programming for individuals with mental health disorders who need ongoing community support for stability. We provide recovery support for individuals with mental health and substance use disorders, scattered site supported housing. We also are the mobile crisis team for mental health concerns in McLean County, along with an on-site crisis urgent care. We're also the lead agency for the continuum of care for 11 counties, including McLean County. So, those are all of the things that we do.
And federal funding, how does that fit into your budgetary picture?
Well, federal funding for us comes, we have some grants that come directly from SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And then also our state contracts come through federal block grant funds. And those programs all support our housing programs for individuals who would otherwise be unhoused and potentially living in areas that are unfit for human habitation. And so it provides, federal funding provides about a fourth of our overall funding.
So, wow, 25 out of every $100, you might say. All right. And then Jose Munoz, La Casa Norte, as mentioned, serves youth and families confronted with homelessness. Talk about, again, your organization and federal funding, how it fits into what you do.
Sure. Well, our organization, La Casa Norte, serves, you mentioned, serves youth and families experiencing homelessness throughout the city of Chicago. We provide shelter services. We operate three shelters in the city of Chicago for youth 18 to 24, provide permanent supportive housing, transitional housing. In partnership with Nourishing Hope, we have a food pantry in our building. We also have two drop-in centers. And operate Heller Brown operates a health clinic in our main building. So between our partners, you know, there's quite a bit of federal funding that's used to support the communities that we serve. Specifically, La Casa Norte relies about roughly a little under $1.5 million in supportive funding from the federal government. Of that, the majority of that funding is to cover leases for youth who are formerly homeless. So a cut in that program would mean that quite literally that in the youth who are currently in a supportive housing program would end up on the streets.
Omar, take me back to Monday night, Tuesday morning, whenever it was you heard about this order. What was your initial reaction? What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, we were obviously all concerned and confused. I mean, late Monday evening, January 27th, ACE Foundation Chicago was blocked without notice from accessing federal housing funding that helps to pay for rents and services for people living with HIV. The Trump administration had frozen all federal grants, and our access was not actually restored until noon Wednesday, January 29th. As soon as we realized that we weren't able to access our funds, we mobilized to reach out to all sorts of, you know, government officials at the state level, the governor's office. We reached out to our members of Congress from the Illinois delegation, really alerting them to what was going on. It was incredibly chaotic. The Trump directive not only communicated President Trump directed agencies not to communicate with us of what this meant for us. And so obviously this stoked fear, not only among service providers, but also the clients that we serve.
And Joan, similar question to you. How were you reckoning with what this would mean for your organization?
You know, there was so much confusion because we didn't know what that means. And so our day really was spent reassuring our clients. Everyone who came in that day had concerns that they weren't going to be able to receive the services that we offer. And we spent the entire day reassuring them that we were going to continue to serve them and that we were going to, you know, try to figure out what was happening. We stayed in touch and monitored the situation, and reassured our staff. So we were not in panic mode, but I can tell you our clients certainly were.
And Jose, similar question to you. And I guess I would also add, I wonder if the Trump administration's, you know, immigration efforts to complicate things further for the work that you do.
Look, quite honestly, the last 10 days have been shocking for everybody, despite the fact that many individuals and organizations saw that a lot of these things coming. It was still a shock. I mean, with the snap of a finger, a push of a button, and, you know, our entire social safety net system across the country was decimated. You know, it was put on pause and on hold. Now, when we saw that as an indication of what we can see in the future. And while we don't want to alarm folks and have folks worry, we know that there is a potential for some changes and funding cuts in the future. And what we saw in the last, just this week alone, and those 24 hours when that system is down, is a reminder of what we need to focus in on so that we can make sure that the communities that we serve continue to receive the important services that they need.
Let's go to the phones, 800-222-9455. Diane is calling from Rockford on line 2. Diane, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to make 2 points. First of all, I wonder how many senior citizens, immigrants, and others receiving threatened services now regret voting for Trump. And secondly, if the Congress won't do its job, then it's obviously left to the people. And the only precedent to act that exists at this point is a January 6th uprising. So the people would have to consider something like that against Trump in order to contain the situation if Congress will not do its job.
Well, hopefully people would consider peaceful demonstrations before moving to trying to do a January 6th from the left.
I think Trump's pretty much demonstrated that he doesn't respect peaceful actions.
Hmm. All right, Diane, thank you for sharing your perspective. Let's also hear from Sharon in Southern Illinois on line one. Sharon, thank you for calling in.
Hi, sir. I'm from a small rural village in between Effingham and Salem, Illinois, off of Highway 57. I've been a nurse for many, many years. Oh, I keep saying 30 years, but I realized when I just counted up the years just now, it's been over 40. I worked, I'm retired now. I worked in public health and in elder care in just about every role that a nurse can work in. When I heard about this the other day, a shockwave hit me, because the first thing I thought of were not only people who had been former clients of mine, but of course, age peers, dear close friends, people that have worked all of their lives. This is a very hardworking part of the country, and due to really ill luck with their personal health, found themselves dependent upon Medicaid payments, and also dependent upon meals and on wheels, and also dependent upon rent support, because they live in an elder rent control building that has nothing but elders that require this type of help. I called them up and told them about this. They had no idea, and the effect on their lives is something. The husband had just had a major surgery on his back. Then at that point, his bills were not going to be paid.
Sure.
The effect of this assault on American working people, it's not understood by our wealthy brothers and sisters here in this country, that these are not entitlements.
Mm.
These are things that I hate it when I hear that.
Yeah.
These people have worked for this. I've worked paying my taxes in.
Sure.
And the reason I pay my taxes is
I hear you. Sharon, thank you. So I'm sorry to cut you off. So we are so close on time to the end of the show. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your perspective. I really appreciate that. Omar, just about a minute left. I want to end with you, because your organization does work with a lot of LGBTQ people, Black communities, Brown communities. You know, the Trump administration says it's targeting wokeness in federal spending. How are you thinking about that with the work that you do, AIDS Foundation Chicago?
Absolutely. I mean, the HIV epidemic is largely driven by racial disparities. It tremendously impacts the LGBTQ plus community. And so, you know, the executive order, while the memo was rescinded, the OMB memo was rescinded, we know that the executive orders attacking DEI, as well as the trans community, are still in place. And if we're not able to discuss these objective facts of how the epidemic is being driven within these communities, we cannot end the HIV epidemic in the United States. You know, Congress has the constitutional power of the purse, and the president really exercising this unconstitutional unilateral power to extort organizations like AFC to fit his narrative will have dire consequences for our communities in terms of public health. AFC is committed, of course, to serving our communities and speaking truth to power. And we will continue to work with officials at all levels of government and across political parties to protect the services for people most impacted. And we'll continue to stand up to anyone who threatens our communities. We won't be bullied to stand down.
Omar Martinez-Gonzalez with AIDS Foundation Chicago, Joan Hartman with McLean County Center for Human Services, and Jose Munoz with La Casa Norte. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show. That is all the time for us. We'll be back tomorrow with our Friday roundtables, considering another week that's felt like a month, at least when it comes to government and politics. The 21st show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll be right back.